Welcome back to episode 5 of the Sov Man podcast, where we take your questions about marriage. And I'm joined by my wonderful wife and co-host, Whitney. So just like we did last time, we're going to take a bunch of questions that we've got from the 1,000 or so men in our group programs, as well as from your questions on Instagram. And we are going to answer the ones that we think are most applicable to our audience. So why don't you get us started with the first question?
Okay, so the first question is, my partner cheated on me. Does this mean that they're definitely going to cheat on me again?
So I'm assuming this is coming from a man. And there is a lot of red pill stuff out there about how if she's cheated on you once, she's definitely going to cheat on you again. And that one girl, Sadia Psychology, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She kind of harps on this point that, yeah, if she cheated on you once, she's always going to cheat on you again. And I like a lot of what Sadia has to say. But the short answer is no. Just because she cheated on you once does not mean she's going to cheat on you again, full stop. Not only do we have a ton of experience with this with our clients, but we know people who are in their 60s and 70s who had infidelity early on in their relationship and never again. So the answer is obviously no. That said, there are distinctions. So if she cheated on you once and nothing changed about who she is as a person and nothing changed in terms of your relationship dynamics, then yes, it's likely to happen again. And it's probably worth talking a little bit about the different reasons that men and women cheat. And this is very much a generalization, and it's not a generalization that covers 90% of circumstances. This is a generalization that covers half of them. So there's tons of different examples. I'm just talking about the most common reasons that we see. Men can be very likely to cheat because they had a little bit too much to drink, and somebody who may or may not be attractive happened to be there and be available for sex. Right? So a man can cheat with no emotional attachment. It is purely because we have a very strong biological drive towards sex and towards novelty. And if you're drinking and your faculties aren't together, a very good, very committed man who's very in love with his wife can make an error. Again, for the smooth brains who are watching, yes, men can cheat for lots of other reasons as well. I'm just saying we see that very commonly. Women, on the other hand, what we have seen, and I think this is, again, generally true, which means not always true, generally true, women cheat when they are not getting something that they need in the relationship. And I have learned through the work that we do that if a woman is not getting what she needs in a relationship for long enough, she will find it somewhere else. Now, she might find it somewhere else in the form of a coworker that she can talk to, and it's platonic and it never turns into anything physical. She might find it in a full-blown affair. But if she's not getting what she needs emotionally, she will find some other way of getting it. And that can very easily lead into an affair. So why I say that is, assuming this is a guy whose wife cheated on him, if you correct the emotional gap that was in your relationship that led to her eventually going and finding that somewhere else, she's not going to have the same drive to go find that somewhere else. Now, I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying she's not a big girl who's responsible for the decisions that she's made. Obviously, I'm just saying, let's talk about reality here. And the reality of the situation is the average woman is not going to cheat unless there's something missing in her relationship. And again, just to bolster my argument here, we've had a ton of guys where I explain this to them, they kind of get it, they approach in the relationship, the relationship heals, and then she comes back, and what always happens is she's like devastated later. She's bawling and crying, and he ends up consoling her for hurting him, right? Because when she finally starts getting what she wants in a relationship, she goes, now this man I'm with, I could never imagine in a million years cheating on. And so I feel devastated that I did. Even though when he first finds out about the affair, she might not feel guilty at all. And she might be really cold and really mean to him about it. And the good thing is, when you learn how to create emotional safety, when you learn how to create trust and connection with your wife, you know the signs to look for. So I would be completely comfortable with Whitney being trapped alone on an island with any man you can think of for 6 months, knowing that there is no chance in hell anything is happening while they're there. Because I know our relationship is solid. I know the signs of connection and safety to look for. And because of that, I deeply, absolutely, fully trust Whitney. If we let's say, get to a horrible place in our relationship, and I know Whitney's been miserable and unfulfilled in the relationship for many years, and she's going out dressed promiscuously with her girlfriends to a bar, I'm going to be a little bit less trusting, right? Let's be honest, right? Now, again, fully trust you. I know you're a committed woman. I know you have integrity. I know even if you weren't feeling connected, you wouldn't do any of those things. But I'm just saying, if you learn to recognize those signs, you don't have a reason to be afraid. And a woman who has cheated in the past, like probably about a third of our clients have been cheated on.
Well, the statistics are that a third of both men and women do cheat. And those are people that have admitted to it. Yeah. So we're going to go that the numbers are way, way higher than that.
Yeah. And I would imagine the numbers even among our clients are higher, and they just don't share it. But yes, you can absolutely get to a place where you don't have to worry about cheating anymore, where there's not pain. It's going to take a year and a half before the pain goes away. But you can get to a place where you fully trust each other and it doesn't happen again, if you know why it happened and if you know how to effectively address that so that it doesn't happen again in the future. Next thing that has to happen is she has to take ownership for it. Now, in an ideal world, you would say, hey, you cheated on me. That was bad of you. Don't do it again. And she says, yes, you're right. I won't do that again. In reality, you're not going to get that accountability until the emotional connection has been rebuilt for long enough that the new emotional safety and connection that you guys have in the relationship feels normal to her. Once it's felt normal for 6 months, then you'll get the full apology. Now, you might get a short apology. You might get a little bit of information right off the bat. But again, and we've seen this 100 times, you're not going to get the full genuine apology that you deserve as a man until she's felt safe enough for long enough in the relationship. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm not saying it's an admirable trait of women. I'm saying this is how reality works. You should know that so you can play within the rules of reality. Anything to add to that?
I mean, I feel like you nailed everything. The question was, if they cheated once, will they do it again? And the answer is yes and no, depending on the state of your relationship, right? So if you're in a good place and you continue to be, and this isn't like saying that, oh, if you two have a fight or something goes wrong, that means that she's going to start cheating again. It just means that, I mean, from what I have seen, it doesn't happen again. It doesn't repeat itself. Once that's happened, the cat's out of the bag, the two of you are like dealing with the downfall, the chaos, the hurt, the pain, the betrayal of what's happened. Most people do not want to go through that again. Not only they've learned their lesson, they've learned the toxicity and the damage that is caused by betraying somebody. They never want to step into those murky waters again. Most likely they'd rather move on, like end the relationship and start new and start fresh, than have to deal with the pain and the suffering and the consequences of what that affair or that cheating has brought to the relationship. So if they are willing to like go into proverbial hell with you, like come clean and deal with the fallout of all of that, it's extremely rare they're going to do something to go back there, right? Because that is a rough place to be in. I mean, you see these men and these women who are facing that betrayal, and it is like they've aged years in a day. It is on both sides, like the one who's committed the adultery, who's gone down that path, and the one who's dealing with the pain of it. I mean, they're both dealing with the pain of it, especially if you've committed adultery and you are so ashamed and you're guilt ridden and you're just like, disgusted with yourself. They're both like aging quickly in those moments. And so, no, I don't think that people who are doing the work and getting to the other side are ever going to do it again. Matt, he works with men exclusively. And so he hears about the men cheating, but he also hears about the women cheating. I work with women. I only really ever hear the stories of the men cheating. And I mean, I've had clients whose husbands have had affairs with the best friend, with a family member, like the other, not their family member, but the girl's family member, a neighbor, someone that was on their kids' team sport, like a mom on the team that their kids do sports with. I mean, I've heard it all, and every single woman that I work with is choosing forgiveness and mercy for her husband, and they are moving through it. And where they end up coming to at the end of it, like when they get to the other side, it is pure, it is beautiful, it is blissful, and they are happy. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to forgive their partner. If that's happened, you get to decide what your boundaries are. You get to decide what you will and will not accept, and what you are or are not able to work through. That's your decision. In our experience, we work with people who want to save their marriage at almost all costs. And what we see on the other end is beautiful, connected relationships. There's no more cheating. And we work with these people sometimes for years, a year or 2 years after. I think one of your clients, he's been in the program with you now for like 2 years. And he went after his partner had an affair, and then they healed, and he's not in there because they have problems anymore. He's in there just because he wants to.
He's in there helping other guys. Yeah.
He's in there helping other men now. He has a different role now because he's overcome this pain, and he's like, guys, like what you can have after is just so incredible. And our society tells us, you know, someone messes up in like even a big way, like you toss them, you throw them out, you get a divorce. What a jerk. And it's like, I get it. They hurt you. They hurt you really, really bad. And it sucks. And it's hard to move past that. We come at it from a very different stance. We believe that just about anything and everything can be worked on and worked through. And that's what we believe. And that's what a lot of our clients believe. We're not telling you what to believe. You get to do you. And there's no shame and no judgment. If you, that's a boundary for you, and you can never come back from it. Zero whatsoever. It's just we've seen so many people come back from that treacherous pain that it's a shame that not everybody knows that it can be great after.
Yeah, and there's also a distinction to make. You can have this is one of those many things that I say that's going to infuriate the woke feminists and the red pill guys. And I'm happy to...
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, there are two sides of the same coin. I'm happy to infuriate both of them. You can have a man in a very committed, very loving relationship who, again, has too much to drink, or who just lets his biological impulses get the better of him, and he doesn't have very good emotional control. But women, it's a little bit easier to predict, in my view, whether they're a cheat or not. And a woman who's getting everything she needs in the relationship and who's at a healthy emotional place, like, she just is not going to cheat. And a woman who is not getting what she needs in the relationship and she's not in a good emotional place, the likelihood that she's going to find that to some degree somewhere else is very, very high.
Not necessarily like full cheating, just like maybe a connection.
That's what I mean by in some way, right? It could be a connection with a female coworker that she talks, gets some emotional fulfillment from, right? But more likely it's going to be something with another man, even if it's platonic in the beginning. So if you don't know how to create emotional safety and you don't know what the signs are when a woman is not happy in a relationship, start the countdown timer, something is going to happen. And if she's extremely fulfilled and safe, you have nothing to worry about with a woman. With a man, he can be totally connected and happy and he can still make a mistake. It's so much less likely with a fulfilled woman. On the flip side, because I'm not trying to make men or women look better, a man can be in a really unhappy relationship and out of a sense of duty, he will not cheat no matter what. Whereas a woman in a really unhappy relationship, the duty factor is going to be less important to her because she's more likely to act from her intuition and her feelings, and a man is more likely to act from his opinions and his beliefs.
Well, men have honor.
Men have a sense of honor, yeah. And quoting Alison Armstrong, not myself, women don't have honor. Right? It's not they don't have integrity, but they don't have that sense of I'm going to act based on my beliefs of right and wrong as much as I'm going to act on my emotions and my intuition. And that's a really wonderful thing when it's guided in the right direction, but it can also lead to pretty big errors in the wrong
direction. And not to like make women look bad, but it's because women are beautiful creatures. I'm a woman. I don't hate women. I love women, but I love men. But you look at how a woman can like turn on her best best friend in like a heartbeat, right? Like they have a disagreement or they go different ways, and all of a sudden this best friend is now no longer, and she's like, now she's an enemy. That doesn't really happen with men. So men are much more principled in their relationships.
Yeah, we tend to sublimate our emotions to our beliefs. We're like, if I believe this is right or wrong, I'm going to make myself feel in accordance with my beliefs. And women have kind of the opposite process. Their beliefs are going to end up matching whatever they're feeling to some degree.
They change over time.
So again, to summarize that, a man can cheat whether he's happy or unhappy. A happy woman is very unlikely to cheat. An unhappy woman is very likely at some point to do something cheating-ish or all the way cheating.
Unless she has some kind of personality disorder, I feel like well, that's very
yeah.
true. That's
yeah,
very
if true. There's a lot of trauma or a mood or personality disorder, all bets are out the window. But one other thing I wanted to mention, the type of cheating also makes a difference when you're healing, right? If a guy goes away on a trip with work, has too much to drink, has sex with a stranger, comes home distraught and tells his wife, and he's apologetic, and oh my goodness, like, I can't believe this happened. I had too much to drink. Like, I don't even remember what she looked like. There's nothing there. That's very different than a wife finding out on the Jumbotron at the Coldplay concert that this guy's in love with somebody, holding her affectionately, and he's been deceiving her for a long time while being public about it in other contexts. And so, you know, all of his coworkers know and all these other friends know, and she's the only idiot who didn't know. That's a whole different level of betrayal. You know, one was an error in judgment in the moment with too much alcohol. One was a conscious decision to form a secret relationship based on deception and to hide that for a long period of time. So the type of affair makes a difference on how easy it is to recover from.
Mm-hmm.
But again, even the Coldplay guy, there's a lot on the line for him, right? Like, he has children, his finances, all these things. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're likely to recover from this because the public element of it, which is so insane how public it got, the poor guy, even though, you know, I don't really feel bad for him, but still.
The poor family. The poor kids,
like,
yeah,
it's insane. It's
the kids I think about.
But if they could heal from this, that would be the ideal outcome. The likelihood of them healing is a lot smaller because it's a lot bigger problem to deal with than the guy who made a mistake on a business trip.
Right.
So. Probably enough on that.
Okay. Okay. My wife was really sweet when we first got married and all through dating. This has changed. She's now complaining about.
So you married a woman.
She's now complaining about needing her freedom and. Sorry, there's a lot here. She needs her freedom. She's. Needs to break free. Okay, there's a lot here. So she was one way when you married her, essentially, and now she is not that way.
Yeah, same answer that we give to a lot of these questions, which is there's some fundamental relationship emotional dynamic that's broken right now.
I would disagree with that.
Okay,
tell me. I think what's going on, what always goes on, is everybody goes through life wearing a mask to one degree or another. Some people's masks are extra thick, extra painted on. Women learn from a very young age that, you know, their walk through life will be easier and they'll get a lot more of what they want if they are sweet and they smile a lot and they're polite. And at some point in time, for most women, they wake up and they go, I am sick and I am tired of wearing this mask and of trying to please everybody. And it starts to come out in nasty ways. And I think that's because there's a lot of resentment that ends up building up inside of her for having to wear this mask. And on the other side of this, I want to say anyone who walks through life, who appears to be always so sweet and always so easygoing, like, this is, I don't mean red flag as in, like, don't date this person. No, of course, people, it's great to be around people who are kind and sweet and polite. It's not a red flag. It's not a red flag, like, as far as their personality. But I mean red flag as in, this is not the whole picture. And a lot of men don't realize this. They think that they have found this woman who's just so chill and so easy and so whatever. It's like, buddy, this is not going to last forever. Like, you have to know that. Because this is not how any human operates. And women, they're not doing this to deceive you intentionally. They've trained themselves and they've learned through life that this is how they're going to get through life and how they're going to get people to like them. they're typically, these women are typically more reserved and they are more people pleaser types because it's difficult for them to have conflict. It's difficult for anyone to have conflict. And the thing is, if you are with someone who has that demeanor, some advice would be to try to make them feel comfortable in their own skin. Like you know, and there's lots of ways you can do that. And that could be a whole episode on its own. But we have men in our program whose wives are now saying they want a divorce, they want to separate because they need to be free. They need to feel free, and they don't feel free in the context of the relationship. And the reality is that these women have gone their whole life holding themselves back from who they really are because they have not been comfortable being themselves. And the man they're with has only ever seen that version of themselves, of that woman. And she doesn't believe that he could love her if he knew who she really was, if she knew who she could really be. So in order for her to be free and to be fulfilled, she has to kind of start new. And that's so sad. Because most of these men would love to see more of their wife. They want to know all of her. They've seen, you know, they, I'm not saying like you don't know your wife if she has this demeanor. Like you know her, you know parts of her, and she's like now she's ready to be who she really is. How I guide men and down that path is like show her that you love it when she's living her best life. Like you love it when she is. Dabbling in the creative elements that she participates in, like her art classes or her singing or whatever it is she likes to do. Show her that you love it when she's free, and then she can start seeing herself in the context of your relationship as being free. She has to change this narrative she has in her mind that the only way she can be free and be real is without you. If you show her that she can be real and free with you, then that narrative can shift and she can stop thinking she needs to exit the relationship.
Yeah, she can start anew with you.
She can start anew with you, exactly. But that you know, that means you'll need to be supportive of that and all that. And also like, well, and do you want that? I mean, you married one version and now you're kind of getting this other version. The reality is, guys, like nobody is, think about, I used this example with Matt the other day. I was like, look at little girls, 5, 6, 7-year-old girls. They're the sweetest little things. Like we have a 7-year-old daughter. She's turning 8 soon. She is the sweetest little squishy thing in the whole world. I love her to death. But she has her moments where she's a psychotic monster, you know? And this is like every little girl. Every little girl is like a sweet little thing and then a psycho, okay? If little girls who are not wearing any masks, like this is, and they're the most innocent beings, they're like that when they're 7. They're certainly going to be like that when they're 35 or 45 or 55 or 25. They've just gotten a lot better at disguising that part of them. So,
yeah, and to your point about accepting that part of her, it can be really hard for men to do because they're like, hey, I married this, you know, let's say very upright and goody two shoes version of you who's always happy and everything's always okay and you're always, you know, easy, chill, go with the flow. And then, oh, surprise, 5, 10 years into marriage, things shift. The worst thing that you can do is get emotionally dysregulated when she's like that, because what she'll internalize is, I knew he only liked me when I was pretending. He doesn't like the real me. And whether that's true or not, that's going to cause her to pull back from you massively and go somewhere else to find acceptance for who she is, right? She'll find a gay friend to hang out with. She'll find friends at, you know, whatever. She'll take up bowling and hang out with her bowling friends. Right, but she'll find some other group where she gets to, you know, air quotes, be herself, because she feels like she can't do that in front of you. And the hardest part to accept about this as a man is, if her opening up makes you feel insecure, you've got some confidence issues as a man. Now, I'm not saying you have to accept inappropriate behavior or you have to accept her being rude or, you know, anything like crosses the line. Clearly not. But if she's just, you know, showing you a side of herself that she hasn't shown before, and emotionally you can't handle that, that's a security issue you have as a man. And again, I'm going to be very clear here. This doesn't mean you have to be okay with her, you know, dressing like she really wants the wrong kind of attention and going out and drinking till 4 in the morning. Obviously not. That's not okay. Don't accept that. Draw a hard boundary. But if she's just expressing a part of herself that she hasn't, and you have this internal image of how she's supposed to be, and you can't handle it when she contradicts it, that's a security issue that you have. And she's going to pick up on that insecurity and it's going to make her feel unsafe and she's going to pull away from you. So you have to do a lot of work on yourself to be capable of standing on your own 2 feet as a man and saying, hey, this is not exactly what I would choose for her. Use a fairly benign example, right? She's dressing like a hippie instead of like the, you know, country club girl that you want her to dress as. Can you still take her to the country club when she's dressed appropriately, but as a hippie, and not feel insecure and be wondering what everybody's thinking about you? Because if you have those internal securities, she will know, oh, he is not man enough to hold all of me as a woman. And she will seek out initially other friends and other groups that can hold all of her, and probably long enough, she'll seek out a man who can hold all of her. And again, a lot of guys, that's going to rub the wrong way. Doesn't mean it's not true. But the good news is, if you can show her that you can hold all of her, that you don't just love it when she's the Virgin Mary, you know, you can love the part of her that is, you know, there's the Madonna whore complex, right? A lot of guys, they marry the perfect upright woman, but they're secretly attracted to the, you know, the whore types. But if she gets to express all of the different parts of her in front of you, and she finds that you, like Rip from Yellowstone, can just look at her with love in your eyes and roll your eyes and go, man, you're crazy, but I still love you, and you're not affected because you are so secure in yourself as a man, she goes, oh, I can show him all the different parts of me that I've hidden from the world for so long, and he can handle it. Well, what that means is she's going to show you all the parts of herself sexually that she's hidden as well. And I've seen this, you know, with so many different clients, that as they learn to be strong enough to handle the different parts of her and they can fully love her in her light and in her darkness, then she shows them the full light and the full darkness in the bedroom as well, in all the ways that they've wanted to do. So this is also really helpful for men to know, if you're not having the kind of sex that you want to have in your relationship, almost always there's an element where she feels like she has to hide parts of herself from you. She feels, he can't handle all of me, and so I'm not going to give him all of me. If you want her to give all of her to you in the bedroom, all that stuff you want to try, all the things you've seen in videos that you've been too embarrassed to ask her that she isn't down for, if you want all that, you have to accept the full version of her, and she has to feel like you can handle that, and then she'll give you all that in the bedroom. Now, again, there's a lot of women online that say, oh, he just can't handle me. And, you know, it's like, I'm not talking about those women. I'm not talking about women who want to like act like assholes and embarrass you publicly and seek male attention in front of you. And then they say, oh, it's just because you're insecure. No, that woman is an idiot. And that has nothing to do with your security or confidence as a man. What I'm talking about is, again, benign example. Can she wear the clothes that she wants to wear to an event where you'd rather her wear different clothes, and it doesn't embarrass you because you're strong enough as a man to go, hey, she wants to dress like a hippie and makes her feel good, I don't give a shit. I'm going to dress how I want to dress. Good for you. You should be happy. Wear whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Can you be secure in that way? Because if you can, she's not going to go find somebody else to be herself in front of. She's going to be that way in front of you. And she's going to love you radically more deeply because you're the man that gave her the emotional space to actually find herself and express herself. And again, just to sweeten the deal for men, because I know this is how men think, you're going to get a very different woman in the bedroom if you're able to do that as well.
For sure. Okay. So this one, okay, so my wife and my mom are fighting all the time. I don't know how to handle it. Additionally, my mother is elderly and she needs my help often.
Okay, so one of, if not maybe even the most common breakdown that I see with my clients is when there's tension between his mom and his wife. All right, so she's got a lot of conflict with her mother-in-law. And four S's that women need to feel safe, right? So safety, emotional safety, obviously, need to feel special, they need to feel seen, and they need to feel supported. And if you're missing any one of those things, she's not gonna feel safe, you're not gonna get the wife that you want. So if she's not feeling special, like she thinks if somebody broke into the house, you're going to rescue your mom before you rescue me, she's not going to feel fully safe, you're not going to get the wife you want, you're not going to have the relationship that you want. And a lot of men who were raised by overbearing mothers like I was, mom, love you, you're the best, you know you're overbearing too, you get this kind of relationship where you're terrified of the feminine to some degree, and then you learn to be very, very appeasing towards the feminine. And so whenever your wife sees you crumble in the presence of the feminine, her ability to trust you diminishes. And if your mom comes in the door and says, you guys should have the shoes over here on this side of the door, not on that side, and your wife goes, no, I like them there, and you end up taking your mom's side, and you have a lot of these little tiny issues where you take your mom's side rather than your wife's side, your mom is going to recognize your mom has a greater psychological... Your wife's going to recognize that your mom has a greater psychological and emotional pull on you than I do. It's going to make her feel unsafe. Now, this gets really complicated, like in this question, what if your mom is elderly and actually requires that you be there, right? Your mom has a health issue where you have to be there. She can't take care of herself. It would be nice if women's response to this was to be like, hey, I totally understand. Go do your thing. Go support your mom. More likely the response is going to be jealousy and possessiveness. And it's going to be viewed as a zero-sum game where whatever you're giving to your mom, I am not getting. And so the mom is very quickly going to be viewed as a safety threat and as a threat to the relationship. So how do you handle that? Short answer is with great difficulty, right? But longer answer is you sit down with your wife and you have a really long conversation about it, focusing on a couple of things. First thing is, what do you need from me to feel fully taken care of while I go take care of my mom? And you might have to negotiate about that and argue with that for a week before you come up with an answer. But maybe by the end of the week, the answer is, okay, if you do these things before you go, and if you call me this often, and if you don't stay for longer than this amount of time, or if you do stay, you give me this many days notice before you stay, okay, I will still feel safe and connected in the relationship, and I'll be understanding of you being there. But you have to figure out, and this is true for any boundary in a relationship, there's like four steps setting a boundary. This is what I need. This is exactly what it looks like. This is the benefit that it gives me. And number four, what do you need for me to make that happen? And so if you do have to go take care of your mom, I would sit down with you and I'd be like, hey, look, I've got to go take care of my mom. She's having health problems. I'm probably going to be there for like 2 to 3 weeks. You're going to be alone with the kids. You're going to be alone in the house. You're going to be a little bit afraid because I'm not going to be there. You're going to have to take on all this extra work because I'm not helping you. What can I do for you that would make you happy for me to go stay with my mom for 3 weeks? And then your response might be, you know, I'm going to need you to, I don't know, like get Uber Eats sent to the house 4 times a week, or I'm going to need you to make sure that there's a babysitter lined up 2 times a week so I can go out and do errands and I can go see friends and I can like get away from the kids a little bit. I don't know, but you negotiate that, because the bottom line is if you'd handle it that way, then your wife will go, okay, he's not choosing someone else over me. He's not neglecting my needs in favor of somebody else's needs. He is a man who is bound by duty, which I respect in my man, but he's not neglecting my needs. He's still making my needs very, very central and very, very important. And I feel like a priority, even though he's going to be gone for 3 weeks.
I would agree. That would be a great way to handle it. Yeah. And Karen, if you're watching, I would go with Matt to help take care of you, because I love you. Matt's mom, who I love and adore. But let's see here. Okay, so that was a great answer, I think. So I'm putting in all the work, but I don't feel like I'm being seen, and there's absolutely no appreciation.
Yeah, we talked about this last one, so maybe I'll keep it a little bit shorter, but it's also a question we get all the time.
And I have one more question.
So here's a different angle that I didn't describe last episode. And again, it's always a little bit funny explaining women in front of a woman. But why it's I do wrong. That is I try to explain it in a way where men actually understand it, because these things are like very hard for men to understand. So sometimes it's easier if I explain it in a male way.
I have to explain to my female clients about men.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And
because
we work with so many men and women, we both have a unique understanding of the opposite sex because of all the years and years of work that we've done with men and women in relation to relationships.
Yeah, so let's come at it this way in terms of a woman who's not being respectful and appreciative. Emotional safety is a huge component. We've kind of touched on that. I'm not going to focus on that right now. But think about a fundamental distinction between men and women when it comes to testosterone and estrogen, right? So testosterone is the primary male hormone. Estrogen is the primary female hormone.
Even though women have more testosterone than they do estrogen.
No one knows this. Women have more testosterone than estrogen, but just men still have, you know, a healthy man will have 20 times the testosterone that a healthy woman would have.
Correct.
So testosterone is driven at results, right? Evolutionarily, I have to go kill something with four hooves and bring it back to my family so they can eat. And as a man, it doesn't really matter if you roll your ankle on the way, like you're going to figure out a way to go get that thing done. It's not about how you're feeling. It's about producing the result. And testosterone allows you to go achieve results irrespective of how you're feeling. This is why men with low testosterone tend to be very caught up in their feelings and they can't get anything done because poor me, I'm in a bad mood, I'm sad, right? Testosterone allows you to get results no matter how you're feeling. Estrogen is not aimed at results. Estrogen is aimed at social connection and emotional well-being. And so if a woman is not in a place of emotional connection and experiencing emotional well-being herself, she can't create that around her. If you want your wife to be able to create a really warm, welcoming, emotionally connected
and
home.
And appreciate you, because that was part of the question.
I'm going to get there. Yeah. She has to already be in a good emotional place herself. And it's very important to know this. So I'll put that in a much simpler way. Men can pour from an empty cup. Women cannot pour from an empty cup. So if your woman is not giving you appreciation and respect and joy and peace in your home, it is very likely that her cup is empty. Because in my experience, again, working with hundreds of men, when you create an emotional environment at home where your wife is safe, where she's fulfilled, where she's getting what she needs, she will immediately want to start giving you what she needs. It's a very rare woman who has an overflowing cup who doesn't immediately want to pour into her husband, into her children, into her loved ones. Again, men are very different than this. Men can be totally not fulfilled in a relationship and they will still do their duty. They will still show up in the ways they're supposed to. They'll still try to pay most of the bills.
They might not make her feel very warm.
They might make her feel terrible.
But he'll do the thing.
Because they don't understand emotional safety.
Yeah.
But they're still going to do their duty even if they're not getting anything. And we see this all the time in men who are getting treated atrociously by their wives. They're getting nothing good back from her at all. And they will spend 10 years still serving her dutifully and faithfully as a husband. Again, they're missing a lot because they don't know how to do these things, but it's ignorance. It's not because they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do their duty even if they're not getting anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
A woman who is not getting what she needs will not do anything for you. Maybe for the short term, maybe for a year or two, but not indefinitely. So kind of balancing out the sexes in terms of who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, neither, because men can be in an amazing relationship and not give the woman what she needs. Men can also be in a horrible relationship and still give the woman what she needs. Women, if they're not getting what they need, they're not going to give you what you need. But if they are getting what they need, they will give you what you need.
Everything. I mean, again, not speaking for all women, but most of us, like we naturally want to serve and to like to nourish our relationships. We're not here to protect you. We want to serve you. You know, it does bring me great joy to take care of our home and take care of our children. And, you know, I don't bring you enough waters, but to bring you a water or to bring you a tea and to have you look at me and just be so pleased with me. You know, you're so pleased with all the things that I'm doing and all the ways that I'm contributing to your happiness and all the ways that you're benefiting by being married to me. That makes me very happy. Like that fills my cup, but because you already fill my cup. So it's like, I want to pour into yours, like, you know, just like you're saying.
Yeah, that's that old phrase, like, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
It can be misinterpreted, like, you know, just do anything you can all the time, whatever she asks you to do. No, it's not going to work. But if she's genuinely happy, your life will be happy because the first thing that she's going to do when she has everything she needs is try to take care of your needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And men don't realize how much power they have in this situation. They think it's like, oh, she's just miserable. She's just hormonal. She's just, they're like, oh, nothing I can do. And it's like, No. Like, you don't understand how much power you have in that dynamic. And it might look to you like responsibility and work and like, oh, you know, and I can see how it can look that way. But I look at it more as like, look at the power that you have. Like, you have the power to change the dynamic of your relationship so much that you have a wife who is serving you, pouring into you, wanting to be with you. Like, you really do have that power. And when we work with women, I structure it a little bit differently where I speak to influence. So men don't like to be controlled. They hate it. I mean, women don't like it either, but men they despise it. But there are ways as a woman being married to a man that you can get the things that you want, not through manipulation, but through influence. And that's about being intentional and about being kind and loving and respectful and supportive. And he will jump right back. I kind of changed the diverter there.
No, no, that was perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, you do have so much control over this as a man, because we've had, you know, 90 to 95% at least, like close to 100% of the guys we work with. They enter into the program, they hear us, you know, they watch some videos, they get on some calls, and they go, yeah, Matt, like that sounds great, but you don't know my wife. She's never said thank you to me. She's never been appreciative of anything. She's never apologized for anything. Then I say, okay, just wait. And then a month or two into the program, or a day or two into the program often, come back and be like, she brought me a beer yesterday. We've been married for 21 years. She has never brought me a beer one time ever. It's like, yeah, because it doesn't matter who she is. Again, mood disorders, personality disorders, extreme trauma aside, average woman. If she is getting what she needs, the first thing she'll want to do is please you in all of the ways that men want to be pleased. Use your imagination, right? So if you know how to set up the correct emotional environment home and give her what she needs emotionally, you will get all of the respect, appreciation, intimacy that you want in return. It's hard to overstate how powerful this dynamic is and how true it is and how reliable it is. And I know this now with you, like if you're not showing up for me in the ways that I want you to as a wife, you know, old me would have just told you, hey, you're doing this wrong, because I'm, you know, I think you're a man. I'm like, well, she's acting from a sense of duty. So if I tell her she's not fulfilling her end of the duty bargain, she's going to start doing that. But now I know, oh, okay, something must be missing for Whitney emotionally. She must be feeling overwhelmed. She must be feeling disconnected. Maybe we haven't had enough time together. Maybe the kids have been stressing her out. Maybe I haven't been helping out with the kids very much because I've been working too much. But I can almost always figure out, oh, okay, this is what it is. I address that thing I change the emotional environment of the relationship of the home. Boom, you start showing up. And men need to be taught by me, by a book, how women work, what emotional safety actually is, because no men understand this. They'll just do their duty and be surprised that they're fulfilling their end of their bargain in their minds, and you know, she's an ungrateful bitch. But women don't actually need to learn any of this. Like, women don't need to read a book on how men operate. All women need is to be in a good place emotionally and to be feel like they're being taken care of and that they're safe. And the moment they feel that way, they will immediately be a super wife. It's crazy the transformations that we've had in our own marriage, that we've had in all these other marriages that we work with, where when he starts showing up in a certain way, it's like he gets the wife of his dreams and there's no real transition. It's like there's like one day she wakes up and it's a 180. And then, you know, it goes back and forth and like it takes time to like become normal again. But hundreds of stories of her making him a meal, taking care of him, setting out his clothes for him, bringing him a beer, having his friends over and cooking a meal and making all these snacks, like all these things they've never done once ever, apologizing, taking accountability for her behavior. And the only thing that changed was he learned how to create emotional connection and emotional safety. Mm. So again, men have to learn how to do that. But if you do, she doesn't really have to learn. Like men are fairly straightforward. She knows what you like. And if she's getting what she needs, she's going to give you what you like.
Yeah, men are more straightforward. Women are a little bit more complicated, but women can learn things like how to influence their husbands rather than, you know, berating them. Like there are ways
we can. Yeah, they have to learn how to like influence and communicate with him, but they don't have to learn what he likes.
No, yeah, that
they all know that.
Yes, that's true. I was just thinking,
willing or unwilling to do it based on how they're feeling.
Right, and then learning how to deliver your emotions and things like that, because sometimes women will come at men.
Yeah, there's a lot of learning.
Very, very strongly, and the tone in which you present your emotions is very important for men. And if you can present it doesn't matter what it is, in a tone of voice and that is calm and collected, it's like he will hear it all. He's there for you. But if you come at him with, you know, aggression or panic or like attitude or whatever, his walls are going to go right way, way up, and it's not going to be a great conversation. But that's where you teach men to be the lighthouse, right? And then men and women can both have a lot to learn. But we focus on men, so that's why we're talking about men right now. But
when we have clients whose wives start working with Whitney, damn, does our job get easier and things move along so much faster. But a lot of our clients, probably half our clients, their wives don't want the relationship to work anymore. They're over it. And so they're not going to start working with the coach. But the good thing is, like, if you learn how to show up, create emotional safety, if you learn how to be the lighthouse, and then she starts getting what she needs, then you can teach her how to communicate. Hey, The next time you're feeling overwhelmed and unsupported, instead of telling me that you need the dishes done, tell me you're feeling overwhelmed and not supported. Because if your female roommate tells you, hey, do the dishes, you'll understand that she's actually feeling overwhelmed and unsupported. Men have simpler brains. We're like, oh, when she says she wants the dishes done, that is the full extent of what she's thinking. Mm-hmm. And then they do the dishes and she's still unhappy. And they're like, oh, this person is crazy. She's not capable of being in a good relationship. She doesn't know how to be healthy in the context of a relationship. So men have to learn to see those, the underlying emotional reality behind the facts. And if they can do that, then you can teach her how to communicate like a man. But you have to learn her language first. Mm-hmm. And once you do, then you can be like, hey, here's a better way to communicate with me. Instead of this big roundabout circle, like, I need you to be very explicit, very specific, very to the point, because I actually want to take care of you. I just don't understand that the dishes means that you're stressed out about the kids and that you've been overworked and that Susie's cousin's brother's son is in the hospital with a broken arm. I don't know how to connect those dots. So I need you to actually say all of that to me. But she's not going to learn how to communicate like you until you learn how to communicate like her, mm-hmm. generally speaking. Right. Unless they're working with you, in which case everything gets so much easier.
Yes. Okay, so the last question I read it before is blended families. So the question was, my wife has kids from her ex-husband. I have kids from my ex-wife. And there are a lot of challenges that are presented. So I think it was, basically, how do I deal with that? But I don't know.
I get it. Yeah. Because that's something pretty common. So first of all, it's really messy and it's
parenting disagreements.
That's, yeah. It's a really, really hard balance to nail. So there's two elements that I would focus on. One is your role as the man at creating order in your house. And the second one is, what are the boundaries with your stepkids? So irrespective of whether she tells you to back off and whether she tells you that she's going to take care of her kids and discipline them and you're not supposed to be there, it is still your duty as the man of the house to create order in the home. Mm-hmm. And even if she tells you she doesn't want you to, if you don't, she's going to punish you. She will stop you from doing it. And then when you don't do it, she will punish you in subtle ways, because whether she recognizes it or not, part of her needs you to show up in that way where you're creating order, right? Easy example, not to do with stepkids, is if the kids are misbehaving, instead of telling your wife to discipline them more, tell your kids, hey, if your mom calls me and tells you you're misbehaving, when I get home, you're not going to be happy, right? You can create that order through your wife, but she still needs you to step into that role. So when there's a blended family, it doesn't mean that you don't still have a duty to create order in the home. You still do. Now you have to do it carefully. And the best way to do this is through discussion with your wife, and sit there for that one really long conversation or multiple conversations over multiple days, and likely conversations over the course of your whole relationship when you have kids at home. How are we going to agree on how to handle this? Because here's what I'm not willing to accept. What are you not willing to accept? Here's what I require. What do you require? And then you have to negotiate until both of you are happy. And if either party is completely unwilling to negotiate, it's not going to get anywhere. It's going to be an ongoing long-term problem. And the way to handle that isn't just to say, okay, well, we can't be compatible. It again goes back to everything else we're saying. Learn how to create emotional safety, change the emotional atmosphere of the home, because in that new context of trust, she will be more accepting of you stepping in to a greater role with her stepkids. Mm-hmm. If she trusts you fully and completely with every part of her, she's going to trust you to discipline her stepkids, right? So there's some underlying issue, but that's another conversation. As far as that actually goes, you have to actually just have that conversation and say, look, here's why I'm unwilling to accept when my stepkids do this, when your kids do this. How do you want me to handle that? Because me not saying anything and letting it go is going to make me resent them, and I'm going to take it out on them in some way. I'm going to be mean to them when I'm trying not to be. I'm going to lose my cool on them.
Well, that'll
I'm going
be hard resentful of you. To admit to.
Well, it's like Jordan Peterson says, don't let your kids annoy you, right? Because if you let your kids annoy you, you're going to get them back. But you're going to get them back in some way that's going to cause emotional damage, mm-hmm. right? You're way more emotionally sophisticated than your kids are on average. So if your stepkids annoy the hell out of you all the time, that means they get to live with somebody who's annoyed by them all the time. And they get to internalize the fact that the world finds me annoying. Mm-hmm. And so you have to sit your wife down and say, hey, look, do you want your kids to be spending half their time, assuming split custody, half their time with a man who is annoyed with them and on the verge of losing his cool. What impact do you think that's going to have on them? Right? You have to talk this all through and say, okay, so how are we going to handle this? Do you want to be in charge of it? Okay. And if you're in charge of it and you're not following through, they're not listening to you, what am I going to do then? This is what I would do. What would you like me to do? Okay, now let's find a compromise in between. And like anything, you just have to fight it out until you get to an answer.
Yep.
You have more direct experience from this from your childhood probably. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I was raised by my mom and stepdad. And I have a half-sister from my dad's first marriage. And I have step-siblings from my stepdad from his first marriage. And then I have a full 100% brother from my mom and dad. So we were definitely a very blended family. Bob, my stepdad, did an incredible job, really. He was amazing. He is an amazing man. And he was really good at, like, you know, stepping in when he needed to. I mean, he definitely disciplined us, but there were boundaries, you know, between us, though. And I think that was a good thing. You know, when I did the obvious thing that every child does with their stepdad, which is, you're not my dad, you can't tell me what to do. You know, he would say, yeah, but you know, you live under my roof. Like,
and he never tried to step into the role. Like, no, I am your dad.
No, he never did. He was like, no, yeah, like, you're right. But you live under my roof and my roof, my rules. Right. It was like, okay, can't really argue with that. And my mom was really good at giving him that respect as like the man of the house, the leader of our home who supported us. He took excellent care of all of us, and he treated us like we were his own as far as like financially, and providing for us and support and being supportive. So that was really incredible. But I also had a very close relationship with my biological dad, and my dad was really good about not interfering with anything that happened in our home. You know, so if I went to my dad to complain about something, he would say, well, you know, Whitney, like, I don't live there. I don't live there. It's not my house. Like, what happens between you, your mom, and Bob is like, that's in your home. Now, of course, if anything like really terrible was going on, which it never did, then my dad would have interfered. But, you know, it was just minor squabbles and things. And my dad knew that his place was not to interfere with the people that were raising me, right? I saw my dad every other weekend. But he was a wonderful father when I was with him, but he wasn't the one raising me. So he kind of knew his place. He wasn't interfering too much. I think that was really important as well. But really it was when my mom showing us how to treat him by giving him respect in that position.
Yeah, so that's the ideal way to handle that, which is probably not the person who's asking the question. They're probably in a position where the wife is not doing that. And so, you know, what we've said is good advice, but the bottom line, like every problem in every part of your life, is work on yourself as a man, because if you become a man who knows how to create safety, who disciplines from the place of the wise king, not the tyrannical king who's lost control of his emotions and disciplines out of anger, and if you learn to start showing up in those ways, there is a 99% chance that your wife is then going to want you to play a greater role with her children, with your stepchildren.
Well, that's the connection with Bob. That's who he was. Exactly. He was more of the wise king than the tyrannical.
So your mom felt safe with him, trusted him.
Yeah,
to play that role.
He was a good man. But the thing, but there is a downside to that too. You know, because as kids, like I definitely felt like my mom took his side. Like she was on his side over ours. Right, like me and my brother always felt like we were in second place to our stepdad, right? So that creates a whole host of issues too. So if a mom is trying to ensure that her children feel loved and like they're the most important thing on earth to her, right? And then also wants to give respect to the man. I mean, that is one that I do not have an answer to. You are answering
and,
it very
well,
good, even though I lived it.
You know, we have quite a few clients with blended families, obviously, and it is just, it's a messy situation,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a reason why that is not the ideal.
The ideal is to keep your family together.
Yeah, and that's why we've devoted our lives to doing that.
No matter what.
Yeah, and if you're on a blended family, do everything you can to keep that family together.
Yes, right? Yes.
And, you know, Bob's an amazing example of what an unbelievably healing and positive role a step-parent can play in your life.
Oh, thank goodness. I mean, I'm so grateful to him. I and stepdads in general, I mean, what they have to walk into sometimes, the pieces they have to pick up and the lack of respect that they often receive because they are not the biological father. It is unbelievable. I have so much respect for stepfathers, and they are like angels. They're angels.
I guess like bottom line is, and we'll probably wrap up after this. If you want to be that wise king in your household, you have to act like a king. You have to create order, and you have to figure out how to get the different factions to work together. So this is probably going to require a lot of really uncomfortable, tense conversations with your wife, with your stepkids, with your biological kids, all of you together. And you're going to have those conversations until there's some semblance of a negotiated agreement in place that everybody's willing to stick to. And there's going to be lots of compromise that has to be made, but don't compromise on the kind of things that are going to make you hate the people that live with you.
Yeah, we had a lot of conversations actually, now that I think about it. We had a lot of conversations growing up.
Yeah. And I'm sure Bob was one who led those.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Right. And mm-hmm. So that's your duty as a man, is if things aren't functioning in your kingdom as the king, you have to step in and say, hey, this is not working. We have to resolve this. We have to figure this out. And if that makes you uncomfortable, if you can't handle the emotional tension, that is going to lead to you losing your cool and yelling at everybody at the table so they never want to sit down with you again, you got to work on yourself. And the amazing thing is, and this is why I think it's a good place to end, because this is my entire philosophy on life and coaching in general, is if you get the right things in place internally as a man, your external world will reorient itself to match the health of your internal world. And if you get to a place of emotional sovereignty where you can control your own behaviors, where you can control the words you say, where you act from that place of wisdom rather than being taken over by that feminine emotional storm that men can very easily be taken over by, your household will begin to rearrange itself in alignment with that healthier place that you're acting from. So work on yourself ceaselessly as a man to be the best man that you can be, to resolve your trauma, to deal with your emotional issues, to deal with that cynical voice inside your, or that critical voice inside your head that says you're not good enough, or that when your wife treats you disrespectfully says it's because, you know, I'm not enough of a man, or it's because I'm unattractive. Like, deal with those insecurities, show up as that wise king who can create order, who can create growth in the kingdom, and watch how your kids and stepkids begin to heal. Watch how your relationship with your stepkids begins to heal. Watch how your stepkids get closer to your wife as a result of it. Watch how everything in your life gets better because you as a man made the decision to heal yourself and be at the best place you can be as an individual. That's always the best thing you can do, no matter what the problem is. And with really messy problems, that's usually the best place to start.
Amen.
So if this is helpful and you're facing difficulties in your own marriage, whether it's lack of respect, appreciation, and intimacy, or your wife is actively considering or threatening divorce, generally speaking, it's easier to handle those issues sooner rather than later. Don't wait until you get the divorce papers, because it's still salvageable, but it's a lot harder. So if you think you're headed down that path and you don't want to head down that path because your marriage, your wife, your family, your kids is the most important thing in the world to you, just like anything else, you would want to get some outside help to improve your odds. If you want to improve your odds, check out the description of the video below. You can reach out to our team. You can check out our free courses. You can check out our paid programs. However we can help you, it would be an honor for us, because we have devoted our lives to saving the world one marriage at a time, one man at a time. And if we could play some role in helping to save your marriage, save your family, get you to a place where you are the man that you want to be, a man that you're proud of, it would be an absolute honor for us. So check out the description below. So just wrapped up the episode, but our wonderful producer had a couple of other questions for us. So what do you do when you are running a business together as a couple? And further to that, should the man sacrifice for the sake of his family in this regard? Is that accurate? We can speak to that very directly because we run a business together. Mm-hmm. It's hard. And the reason why it's hard is, in business, you have to bring your masculine energy. You have to bring the energy that is competing, challenging, overcoming. And so when Whitney and I are working together, Whitney's tapping into her masculine energy a lot of the time. And so basically this is happening, right? And neither of us want that, because I am more attracted to your feminine side than your masculine side. You're more attracted to my masculine side than my feminine side, although I'm happy you have a balance and you're happy I have a balance, obviously. And so it can create a huge amount of tension in the relationship. And it also, we both do jujitsu, and we discovered fairly quickly, when I was really good at jujitsu and Whitney hadn't done any jujitsu, it was totally fine for Whitney to roll around and feel safe in my arms as I controlled her. When Whitney got good and she tried to beat me, all of a sudden that dynamic really switched and it was terrible when we rolled together in jiu-jitsu. So whether it's jiu-jitsu or business, it's kind of the same thing. Like when we both bring that same energy, it's a bit of a problem. So one of the ways we've handled that is we've kind of, just like we've done in our house, we've kind of divvied up who does what in the business. And so we work more like alongside each other rather than together.
We've also learned to practice how very intentionally, and this took a lot of work. This was not overnight. This was not over the span of a week. I'm talking like we've been working a lot with one another, running a business together for years now. So it probably took a year of us learning how to speak to one another within the context of our business. And, you know, for example, Matt, he can be in our relationship. He's very sweet with me. He's patient, whatever. In business, he can be very like direct and like to the point. And I don't like that. Like, I'm like, please don't talk to me that way. It can hurt my feelings. Right. And he's like, Whitney, like, well, this is business. We got, and it's like, okay, cool. I can handle our employees. Like, I can be direct with them. We can be direct with each other. I'm a lot harder with people than Matt is. Matt's like a lot, you know, you're more patient than I am. So I understand being direct. I am very direct, but it's different with Matt because he's my husband. He's my safe place. So we have had to learn to be intentional in how we speak to one another. I don't talk to him like I talk to employees or like I talk to other people in our business. I keep my wife hat on even in the business, which means if he's frustrated or something's going on, I'm going to change my tone of voice. I'm going to be a little softer. I'm going to frame things as a question to ensure that, like, our dynamic is still being respected. But I had to learn how to do that, and I have to be intentional with it. Matt, and this is the same thing. When he needs things from me, because he needs a lot of things from me in business, he does it. He just frames it differently. He speaks to me in a softer tone. He'll send it in a text message or in an email, things like that, because he knows that, like, I'll hear it a lot easier if it's via text or email, because the tone of voice is different. And then there's something else too in business. Yeah, we work more alongside one another. I mentioned that.
Well, you didn't really mention like my communication too much, which I wanted to mention. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, because I do. Like, let's say we're like filming something together, I'll be like very short, very to the point. Like, let's move it, and you'll sometimes want to move a little bit slower, or kind of think things through. And I'm like, no, like, let's go. You should have been prepared. Like, what are we doing here? And so, yeah, I really have to just keep in mind the lessons that I teach to clients in a relationship and apply those in a business context, because it's very easy for me to switch into business mode.
And
it's very
kind
for
of
you to switch into like bossy. Delegator mode.
Yeah. Well, I think both of us can get kind of like bossy sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I don't like to be bossed around by you, and you don't like to be bossed around by me. Like, neither one of us appreciates that at all.
We're both very, we're not people like to be told what to do.
We hate it. Like, you tell me what to do, and I'm going to ensure that I do the exact opposite. Like, our personalities are just like that.
There's a reason
like,
we don't have bosses.
Yeah, the reason we run our own business, yeah. We can't stand other people telling us what to do. And so sometimes Matt has to tell me, like, things, right? But I have learned over time. It's been a learning curve, right? It's been a lot of arguments, a lot of fighting, a lot of communication. And, like, even on the way over here before we were filming our podcast, I was like, okay, we're going to do this. And there was a trigger in me where I was just like, like, he's telling me what to do, you know? But I was like, But then I was like, you know what? He's trying to frame the conversation for us going in. I understand what he's doing. I had to have a dialogue with myself so that I didn't let it get to me, right?
Yeah.
It was perfectly innocent.
So slowing things down in your own head is really important. And I do the same thing, because I'll want to tell you to, like, whatever, like, hurry up. Or, like, why didn't you have this ready already? And I'll have to just be like, okay, that's not going to get anywhere. It's going to create tension. Our dynamic's going to be weird. We're both going to be bitter. We're going to have a conversation about it later and all this bullshit. So, okay, take a breath, Matt. Hey, Whitney, do you think that you could have this ready before we continue this conversation? It's like so hard for me. I can do it in life. I've gotten very good at it, even though it used to be very difficult. But in business, I'm still learning to do that. So, yeah, I would say slowing down and remembering that we are a husband and wife first, mm-hmm. and business owners that work together second.
Yeah.
And maintaining that dynamic.
Yeah.
So That would be the first thing I'd say. And then as far as sacrificing, I'm very happy to sacrifice for you and the kids. And I want my life to be a sacrifice for you, but sacrifices that I find acceptable and that are aligned with my values. Because a man has to have a mission in life outside of his family that's a priority for him. And if a man is not able to pursue his mission in life, because his wife is getting in the way of that for good or bad reasons, he is not going to be in full self, his full self in the relationship, and he's going to have a lot of resentment and bitterness inside of the relationship. Mm. So what I'm very careful to do when I make a sacrifice is ask myself really clearly, do I want to make this sacrifice? Because I really believe, man or woman, anybody, you should never do anything you don't want to do. Now, I'm not saying that when I want to go golfing and my daughter wants me to watch Bluey with her, I always go golfing. But if I decide to watch Bluey, it's because I really want to watch Bluey. Okay. Selfishly, I'd rather go golfing, but I want my daughter to have a lot of time with me. I want to be close to her. We haven't seen each other very much lately. She really needs this. It'd be good to cuddle her. We get some time together. Okay. Selfishly, I'd rather go golfing, but I want to watch Bluey with her. Mm-hmm. And so I choose that. And the same thing with you. Like, if you want me to not see my friends, I don't really socialize. That's a bad example. If you want me to not go golfing, we'll use golfing again. I started golfing the last couple months. It's a big thing.
We've been golfing your whole life.
I'm golfing more. And you really want me to stay home because whatever, you need a break from the kids, let's say. I won't agree to stay home unless I want to. Mm-hmm. And so I'll think it through. I'll be like, hey, you know what? Winnie's got this going on. Okay, you know what? I want her to feel good. I want her to be taken care of. I don't want her to be overwhelmed. She hasn't been working really hard. She needs a break. Okay, shit. I want to stay home. I'll stay home and I'll skip golfing. But if I think that, you know what? I really need a break. I haven't golfed in a while. I need this time to myself. And Whitney, yeah, she's a bit overwhelmed, but she can probably handle this. Then I will say, no, I love you so much, but I'm still going golfing. Mm-hmm. So as regards sacrifice, only if you want to make that sacrifice.
Only if you can live with that sacrifice. Yeah, because
if it's going to build resentment, it's not worth it.
No. And you have to, it's a weighing game, right? Is by making the sacrifice, this means I can be with my family and I can be around, because that's what we all want at the end of the day. That's what we all need. Like, this is the only way we can be together. The only way. It's like, okay. But if you know, in the context of this question, I think high school was involved. So it's like, can this child or student go to a different high school? Like, is that a possibility? Okay, maybe then that's a conversation. You know, Matt gave up or left his really successful finance career. He was an investment advisor for 15 years, multiple high six-figure job. And he decided one day that he couldn't do it anymore. He wasn't being true to himself, and he was dying inside, even though we were making a bunch of money. And he came to me and he was like, I want to go on Instagram and start from zero, you know? And it was like, okay, like, that's a big sacrifice. So to turn it around, like, I, you know, at the time it was like, he was only going to make that choice if I agreed. Because he understood that the security of our family was extremely important, and it was important to him, it was important to me. But I essentially sacrificed my comfort and I guess our security. We were smart about how we did it, but to a degree, sacrificed our security and our comfort to go on this path with Matt to start a business, because he needed to do it. So, you know, that was a sacrifice that we both made. But since I didn't have any idea how this was going to go and didn't have any vision, it really more felt like my sacrifice. But one that I was super willing to do because I trusted you. There was lots of evidence of you following through and being highly intelligent and making things happen. And at the end of the day, it was like, I wanted you to be able to be the man that you were meant to be and that you believed you could be. And so to me, that was more important than like our financial situation.
Yeah, and women have, and especially you, like this incredible intuition where you'll know things years before the data shows things. So now I always wait for the data to show up, and you'll be like, no, this is a bad idea. And then 2 years later, the data will be in, and I'll be like, oh yeah, you're right, it's a bad idea. And so I really do rely on your intuition. I'll just muddy the water a little bit by sharing two stories from clients. So I have two clients who founded large companies, sold them, made a bunch of money. And their wife said, you need to stop working. Like, our marriage is at a horrible place. Like, I am not dealing with you building another company. It almost killed us. If you want to be married to me, you're not starting another company. And both of them went off and found other things to occupy their time, kind of like side careers, let's say. In the one case, the guy was desperate to start another company, and he basically ended up being a stay-at-home dad, and he started to wither, and he's very, very resentful towards his wife. In the other case, he made that sacrifice. He said, okay, I'm not going to start another company, even though he wanted to. And he is thrilled with the side projects he's got going on. He's finally like spending time with his wife and his kids, and he could not be happier. So yes, make the sacrifice, but it has to be the right sacrifice, right? Because those guys made the same sacrifice. One of them was the right decision, one of them was the wrong decision. So you have to get very clear inside of yourself, what sacrifices am I willing to make? Because if you make a sacrifice that you really, really, really don't want to make, that can cause so much resentment that it can tarnish the relationship for a very, very long time. So I would just say, be very careful about the sacrifices that you make, and make sure that you are actually willing to make that sacrifice. Because if you make a sacrifice you're not willing to make, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass in your relationship.
Yeah, so the answer isn't like, should the man sacrifice or should he not? It's like, well, the answer is yes and no, right? Yeah. The answer is yes, if you can live with the consequences of that sacrifice, if it makes sense to you, but no, not if you're going to be living with the resentment that is tied to that sacrifice, because that is like, resentment is what I like to call a growing cancer. It'll mm-hmm. it'll tear you apart. It'll ruin the health of your relationship until you work on that cancer, which, you know, is through healing, and which can happen. Obviously, it's what we do. But if you can avoid starting that cancer to begin with, creating that cancer to begin with, that's ideal.